بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد The verses that were recited before you were from Surah Al-Ma'idah, the fifth chapter of the Quran Kareem. Seven verses were recited before you from verses 27 to 33. The background of these verses is Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala created Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. He was the first human being on earth. And from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala created our mother Hawa. It was through Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and our mother Hawa that humanity was to be established on earth. In the books of history it is recorded that our mother Hawa, she had 20 pregnancies, and in each pregnancy she had twins, a boy and a girl. And according to other narrations, she went through 120 pregnancies. In the first pregnancy, there were a boy and a girl, Qabil and his sister Qalima. And the very last birth that she had, also a boy and a girl, the boy's name was Abdul Mughith, the girl's name was Ummul Mughith. It is stated that this carried on, the boy and a girl getting married from the different births, and Adam alayhi salatu wasalam in his own lifetime, he has seen his own children from his own generation, approximately 400,000 people. From his children, from his progeny. In principle, it is prohibited for a brother to get married to his sister. And the principle is recorded in the Quran Kareem. And in fiqh terms, in terms of jurisprudence, a person cannot get married to his ziraham mahram. Two conditions that they are such close family, blood relatives that emanating from one womb. For example, a person cannot get married to his mother. A person cannot get married to his daughter. A person cannot get married to his brother or sister or a paternal aunt, maternal aunt. All this is prohibited. Yes, distant families, for cousins, etc., that is permissible. Now, in principle, it is not permissible for a person to get married to his sister. But in order to establish humanity on earth, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala permitted a brother of one birth to get married to a sister of another birth. And as such, Qabil, he had to get married to Habil's sister, who was from the other birth. And Habil could get married to Qabil's sister, which was from the first birth. He had to get married to Qalima. So happened that Qabil's sister from the first birth, from the same birth, she was good looking, better looking than Habil's sister from his birth, from his immediate sister. Now Qabil wanted to get married to his own sister because she was good looking. He didn't want to get married to Habil's sister. The matter was presented before Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam first intervened at the father and he told that in principle, you cannot get married to your own sister. You have to get married to Habil's sister. The girl from the that was born together with Habil. He did not listen. He still protested that he wants to get married to his own sister. She is more good looking. She is better looking. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam then advised them to give a qurbani, to give a sacrifice. Both of them would present a sacrifice, and a fire would come and consume the sacrifice that has been accepted. In the books of history it is recorded that Habil, who was the victim in this incident, when he presented his sacrifice, he gave a nice healthy goat and sheep. And Qabil, who has perpetrated the crime in this particular incident, he was bitter. He was sour right from the beginning. He gave few rotten plants and presented it for sacrifice. The sacrifice was then presented. A fire came from the unseen and consumed the sacrifice made by Habil. Which means that Habil is on the haq. Habil is on right. He can get married to Qabil's sister. Qabil cannot get married to own sister, Qalima. This angered Qabil. He got very, very angry. He was in a state of rage. Why can't he fulfill his nafs, his desire, what he wants? And he went forward and he killed his own brother, Habil. The books of history, it is recorded that he either choked his brother, or he took an iron rod and hit him, or took a rock and hit him. These are all historical narrations. In any event, according to the Quran, he had killed him. It is also recorded that Habil was more stronger than Qabil. He could have defended himself. He could have even attacked Qabil. But he exercised restraint and he did not do anything to defend himself. When we're doing the translation of the ayats, you'll see the attitude that Habil adopted when Qabil wanted to kill him. In the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, Ahmad Ibn Kathir says, there is a cave in northern Syria. It is called the Cave of the Blood. He said once he saw a dream and he saw the vision of Habil in the dream. And Habil told to him that cave that is there in northern Syria, which is known to be the Cave of the Blood, that is actually my blood that has been spilled there. And the place is such that if any person has to stand there and make dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the dua would be accepted. After Habil was killed, that was the first murder that took place on earth. Qabil had no experience, he had no understanding how to dispose of the corpse. It is stated, for one entire year, he walked around, moved around with the corpse of Habil. Until Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala showed him, there was a crow, it had passed away, and then another crow, in a very respectful way, disposed of the corpse of the crow. It dug a hole into the ground and it took the fellow, that crow that had passed away, and buried it into the ground. That's when Qabil realized that this is how you're supposed to be disposing of the corpse. And that's what he had done. He expressed grief, he expressed regret at what he had done. So Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem, the translation, and thereafter will follow the lessons that we can learn from this. وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَ أَبْنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, recite upon them, upon mankind, the incident, the true incident of the two sons of Adam, Qabil and Habil. إِذْ قَرَّبَا قُرْبَانًا فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ. When both of them presented a sacrifice, it was accepted from one of them, that is the sacrifice of Habil, وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ, and it was not accepted from the other, the sacrifice that was made by Qabil was rejected. When this happened, قَالْ لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ Qabil was raging. He can't fulfill his passion, his desire, what he wants. He can't get married to the woman of his choice. So Qabil said to his brother, لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ Most definitely I am going to kill you. On that, Habil replied, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ Why are you getting angry? Why are you getting upset? My sacrifice has been accepted, your sacrifice has not been accepted. It's a decree from Allah that إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ Most definitely, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala accepts from those people that have taqwa. لَإِن بَسَطَّ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ Habil then tells to Qabil, if you would spread to me your hand, if you're going to kill me, لِتَقْتُلَنِي so that you would want to kill me, مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِتِي يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ I'm not going to spread my hand towards you to kill you. If you are doing a wrong, it doesn't mean that I should also do a wrong. إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ Most definitely, I fear Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, who is the Lord of the worlds. It is stated, at the time of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was surrounded by the rebels, and they plotted to kill and assassinate him, very close to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was staying. When the murderer came and about to strike Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was the Amir al-Mu'mineen. He could summon the army. He could do whatever he wanted to defend himself. But that's the time just before being killed, the last verse he read was this, لَإِن بَسَطَّ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ لِتَقْتُلَنِي مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطِي يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ If you are spreading your hand to kill me, I'm not going to do that. I fear Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Habil then further mentioned to Qabil, just before Qabil could kill him, إِنِّي أُرِيدُ أَن تَبُوءَ بِإِثْمِي وَإِثْمِكَ By me exercising restraint, not defending myself, I intend that you return with my sin. My sin refers to that the sin of killing me. You return with that sin and your other sins as well. فَتَكُونَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ And by doing so, you would be from among the inmates of the fire of Jahannam. وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الظَّالِمِينَ And that, the fire of Jahannam, when a person commits a crime, that is the punishment of the oppressors. فَتَوَّعَتْ لَهُ نَفْسُهُ قَتْلَ أَخِي فَقَتَلَهُ فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ The nafs, the soul of Qabil seduced him, motivated him, cooperated with him to kill his brother Habil. And then he killed him. It was only after Qabil killed Habil, فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ He realized that he is among the losers. فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ غُرَابًا يَبْحَثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala sent a crow that would dig, scratch and dig into the earth. لِيُرِيَهُ كَيْفَ يُوَارِي سَوْءَةَ أَخِي So the crow may show to Qabil how he should cover, how he should dispose of the corpse of his brother. قال, يا ويلتا, أعجزت أن أكون مثل هذا الغراب? Qabil, when he saw what the crow have done, he said, I regret. Am I more helpless than this crow, that I don't know how to dispose of the corpse of the body of my brother? فَأُوَارِيَ سَوَأَتَ أَخِي That I would cover the corpse of my brother. فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ النَّادِمِينَ And then he became among the people to regret, the regretting ones. And then in concluding this incident, here is the first life that had been taken away, the first murder that took place on earth. Allah Ta'ala says, مِنْ أَجَلِ ذَلِكَ It is because of the sanctity of life. Allah created life. Allah created mankind. Nobody else did. Allah put life in a person. It is because of the sanctity of life. Katabna ala Bani Israel. We decreed on the Banu Israel. أنه من قتل نفسا بغير نفس أو فساد في الأرض. That person who killed a soul, just one soul, that person will kill one soul, one human being, without him killing another human being, or without that person committing any crime on earth, any mischief on earth. Yes, of course, if one person has killed another person, then you can kill the murderer. Or if a person is committing corruption on earth, where he's taking away the lives of the people, the lives of people are being threatened, then only you can kill the person. But if a person did not kill someone, he's an innocent person. Neither is he committing corruption on earth. He's an innocent person. If a person, you killed such a person, فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا, it is as though you have killed all of mankind. One life is all humanity. وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا, and that person who made an effort to spare one person's life, فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا, it is as though he has given life to all of mankind. No difference between one life and all of mankind. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَتْهُمْ رُسُلُنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala first, lastly says that the prophets that I have sent, all the anbiya that I have sent, they have brought down to people clear signs. Allah left no excuse for the people to be guided. He sent them the prophets, gave them guidance, and now the people have no excuse not to obey Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. ثُمَّ إِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنْهُمْ بَعْدَ ذَٰلِكْ فِي الْأَرْضِ لَمُسْرِفُونَ, in spite of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala sending down prophets, in spite of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala sending down guidance with the prophets, then too, there are many people after that on earth that they trespass the limits. This is the brief translation of these verses, the incident of Qabil and Habil. Respected elders and friends, there are two spiritual lessons that we can learn from this incident. Qabil was jealous on Habil. And it is because of that jealousy he committed a crime and he oppressed Habil. These are two sicknesses in an individual that can be very harmful, very detrimental. Firstly to his iman and second to his spirituality. Hasad is very, very bad and very, very detrimental. Hasad, jealousy, is defined as tamanni zawali ni'mat al-ghayr. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala blessed somebody with something. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gave somebody good health. It's a bounty from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah gave somebody wealth. It's a bounty from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gave somebody lot of children. It's a bounty from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gave an individual, another individual cannot stand that. And he burns away inside. And he hopes and he wishes that that bounty that has been given to that individual, it will be taken away from him. Whether he gets it or not, a different issue. But that person must not get it. That is called hasad. And that is completely haram. It is stated, this hasad and jealousy, أَوَّلُ ذَنْبٍ وَقَعَ فِي السَّمَاءِ وَأَوَّلُ ذَنْبٍ وَقَعَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, it's the first sin that was committed in the skies and the first sin that was committed on earth. First sin committed in the sky, Allah Ta'ala created Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. He is created from sand. The malaika were existing before that. Shaitan created from fire. He joined the ranks of the malaika because of his ibadat. He was called Namusul Malaika because of his excessive ibadat. But when Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala created Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah told the angels, make sajda, prostrate before Adam alayhi salam. All the angels did that. Aba wastakbar wa kana min al-kafirin. Shaitan refused. The reason for his refusal was hasad and jealousy. He entered into a debate with Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And this is what hasad does to a person. You stop thinking. Your brain stops functioning. You just want to follow your nafs and your desire. Shaitan then told to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, can one imagine a creation debating with Allah? It is a consequence of hasad. It is a consequence of following your nafs and your desires. Shaitan told to Allah, how should I bow down before him? خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَار وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن تِين. You created him from sand, and I am created from fire. Naturally, fire is higher than sand. Why should I bow down before that? What Shaitan did not see is that whose order it is. He looked at the component, but he didn't look at the creator of the component. And because of that, he was then rejected. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also became a victim of hasad. It was the Jews thought that prophethood is going to remain in them. When they saw that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the progeny of Ismail alayhi salatu wa sallam had become the Nabi, it was out of hasad and jealousy. They tried to harm Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Black magic was done on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out of hasad. And that is why Suratul Falaq, Suratul Nas was revealed, وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. They are seek refuge from the jealousy of the jealous ones. Labid ibn Asim, the Jew, he did black magic on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, the people of the book, the Christians and the Jews, they have hasad on the Muslimin. Allah says in the Quran Kareem, وَدَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَوْ يَرُدُّونَكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ كُفَّارًا حَسَدًا مِّنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ. It is because Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala gave us deen, iman, such a beautiful deen. The Christians didn't have that, the Nasara don't have a deen like us, the Jews don't have like a deen like us. The great, beautiful deen, comprehensive deen that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala given us, when they looked into it, they studied it, they understood it, and they compared it with what they had in the Injil, what they had in the Torah, it was no match. They started having hasad, jealousy. Brothers, this hasad, we should ponder and think that any ni'mat that comes upon an individual, from who it came? Who it came from? Did it come from any human being? Whatever any person possesses, the color, his complexion, his health, his wealth, the ability, the skills in any particular individual, that's only from Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And Allah refers to this in the Quran Kareem. When He gives wealth to anyone, it's not from any human being, it is from Him. نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَةً فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْدًا فَوْقَ بَعْدٍ دَرَجَاتٍ يَتَّخِذَ بَعْدُهُمْ بَعْدًا سُخْرِيَّةً. We are the ones that distribute wealth among people. And we made some above the others. So it is Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala that has distributed and Allah has given. Now, when a person has hasad, you're actually entering into a war with Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Is you actually questioning why Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala gave him? Who gave the right to Allah to give him? أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَا أَتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Are you going to have hasad for the grace and the bounty that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given to someone? This is what hasad does to a person. You stop thinking and you enter into a war with Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Imagine questioning the decree of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. That just shows that a person is not thinking anymore. He's so intoxicated in fulfilling the passion and desire of his nafs. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, إِيَّاكَ وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْحَسَدْ. Stay away from hasad. Jealousy. The moment the thought comes into your mind about some good that's in the next person, and the moment the thought comes into you that why the next person got it, stay away from it. Say to yourself, this is from Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. I have no control over it. How can I fight with Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala? فإن الحسد يأكل الحسنات كما تأكل النار الحطب. A person may perform his salah. A person may do fasting. He'll give sadqah, he'll give charity. He would want to reach on a spiritual high. But you've got the sickness of hasad. Everything of yours is wasted. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this hasad. It eats away the person's good deeds. And not one deed, the word comes, the hadith, hasanat, whatever good deed you do, just because of that feeling of hasad, you can't take away anything from the next person, but that feeling that you have in you, why the next person got it? You question the decree of Allah, you're actually like fighting with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. What sense does it make to an individual? On one side you're worshipping Allah, and on the other side you question the decree of Allah. And when a person happens to do this, his good deeds are eaten like how fire, it eats dry wood. If a wood is dry, not just wet wood, dry wood, you just put the match onto it, and how quickly that fire, that wood will be burnt. Faster than that, hasad eats up all your good deeds. So what's the point of having hasad, and on the other side, you're also worshipping Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. This doesn't mean we stop worshipping Allah. We need to correct ourselves. We need to do clever choices, intelligent choices. On one side, we worship Allah. We want to preserve what we are doing. And in order to do that, we need to cleanse ourselves from the sickness. Now, Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned a very thought-provoking statement. He said that لَيْسَ مِنْ شَرِّ الْخِصَالِ أَعْدَلْ مِنَ الْحَسَدِ. From all the bad qualities, evil qualities, there's no evil quality that is more just than hasad. Understand what Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala is saying. لَيْسَ مِنْ شَرِّ الْخِصَالِ أَعْدَلْ مِنَ الْحَسَدِ. There are a lot of evil qualities. There's anger. There's pride. There's oppression. But from all these evil qualities, one is jealousy. But this jealousy, it's an evil quality, but it is the most just quality. In the sense that فَإِنَّ الْحَسَدِ يَقْتُلُ الْحَاسِدِ قَبْلَ الْمَحْسُودِ. This jealousy, it doesn't attack the next person first. It attacks the jealous person first. The person having jealousy, so you wish and you hope that the next person might be deprived. Something might happen to the next person. But before that could happen to the next person, you yourself already burning inside. You have been killed inside. You have an uneasy feeling. So what's the point of having this hasad and this ill feeling when you're hurting your own self? You're not hurting anyone else. Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala then mentioned that, you know, a jealous person, he will never get happy. Never ever get happy. La yarza illa zawal al-ni'mah. The only one thing that will make the jealous person happy is that he must be deprived. That position must go away from him. That wealth must go away from him. Until that doesn't happen, you don't feel at ease. Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayh, in addressing the issue of hasad and jealousy, he tells that lima tahsud akhak. Why are you having jealousy for your brother? If Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has honored that person with something good came from the side of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to increase his status in the world, to enjoy his quality in life. So why are you having hasad on somebody that Allah wants to honor? And then he mentioned that فَإِنَّ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ. If that person had a quality, it's not from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, some bad quality, but it's giving him some position in this world, then لِمَا تَحْسُدْ عَلَى مَا يَسِيرُهُ إِلَى النَّارِ. Why are you having hasad for somebody that's going to go in the fire of Jahannam? This hasad, it is a fire that ranges from within a person. The only way, the only solution to hasad is strengthen our iman on taqdeer. Allah Ta'ala gave somebody something. It's not my choice. It's a decree of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Simply submit. When you see somebody driving a nice car, You see somebody just bought a nice property. You saw somebody that's traveling here and there. You hear about it. Alhamdulillah, subhanallah, mashallah. Why do you start questioning it? And what's the motive of questioning it? Why do you have that burning feeling in yourself? Allah gave him, instead of feeling that Allah must take it away from him, in your heart may go, Allah give me too. And if Allah will give you, Allah is good for you, then Allah will give it to you. If it's not good for you, Allah won't give it to you. But if, because it was good for the next person, Allah gave it to him. And in adopting this attitude, taqdeer, then that raging fire from within yourself will come out. You're submitting to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And one of the greatest forms of ibadat is simply to submit to taqdeer. You simply from your heart, this is what we call abdiyat, servitude. From within your heart, you submit to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Otherwise, you can maybe get 1,000 rakats of nafil namaz. Whole night you'll be awake. Making lots of tilawat. Doing everything. Everything has its virtue. There's merit in doing it. But what's the point of doing everything when you think ultimately you got such a quality within yourself that they're going to wipe out everything? Whilst we're doing everything, we should also ensure that we make islah of our own selves. Stay away from hasad and simply submit to taqdeer. And simply submitting to taqdeer, that's more valuable than thousands of rakats of nafil namaz. And that applies to everything of our lives. Sometimes we are tested in life in various things. We don't question Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We say, no, taqdeer, Allah decreed it. That's why it happened. Why it happened and how it happened? So we will calculate it according to our worldly means. Ultimately, it is Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We are the slaves of Allah. Allah does with us whatever He wants. We simply submit to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. It is also very important. One is that you stay away from hasad, jealousy. Stay away also from those things that could even lead to hasad and jealousy. Don't do such an act that would now provoke somebody. And then after that, that person, a feeling of jealousy will come into that person. Now it's not that person that have hasad in him, although his feeling is wrong, but you have done such an act that caused that negative feeling in him. Stay away from that as well. See, in the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, لا يبيع أحدكم على بيع أخي ولا يختب أحدكم على ختبة أخي. One person had done a transaction, concluded a transaction, was about to conclude the transaction. It probably could be something very, very profitable. It could be something very, very good for yourself. You're about to conclude the transaction. How would you feel when the next person goes behind your back and go and tell the seller, I'll offer you a better price? Don't sell it to a person. I'll give you better terms. I'll provide you a better service. Or give me a particular position in a professional world. I'll see you right elsewhere. You go behind the back of the person and you do this. You cut him out. What have you done? Although you probably will secure that position for yourself, but you have provoked the next person. And you putting a feeling of hasad in him. Now he's going to think, he took my position away. I hope that position comes out from him. One person had made a proposal for a girl. لا يختب أحدكم على خطبة أخي. One person had made a proposal for the girl. The proposal has been accepted. Oh, it is about to be accepted. It's a well-known fact. Now, one person, he thinks I lost out on the deal. He goes behind the back and he goes and tells the next person that this is what I'll do for your daughter. This is what I'll do for your sister. Break that proposal. Get me married to her. If there he has been successful in that, he has now provoked the feeling of the next person for him to think negative against the next person. So just as hasad is haram, hasad is prohibited, to adopt any mean that lead to hasad, that is also haram and prohibited. Brothers, the second thing, the second lesson we learn from this, that when a person has hasad, jealousy, if he does not make it islah, he doesn't change, doesn't reform himself, he doesn't get rid from this quality, then he's going to lead to causing oppression to the next person. Zulam. Qabil, he further had hasad. And that hasad led him to kill his brother. And that leads to zulam, it leads to oppression. And that is why the root of all spiritual sicknesses is hasad and jealousy. And from there, if that is not corrected, it leads to so many other evil things. And that leads to be our next discussion, very briefly. One is huququllah, the rights of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And one is huququl ibad, the rights of human beings. To fulfill the haqq of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is important. We got to perform our salah, we have to give our zakat, we have to give sadaqah, charity, all that. These are the rights of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And one is the rights of human beings. Shariat is very sensitive on the rights of human beings. And this is the way of example. How sensitive? How sensitive? A father has to bring up his child. Allah Ta'ala has blessed somebody with a child. وَعَلَى الْمَوْلُودِ لَهُ رِزْقُهُنَّ وَكِسْوَتُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ The father, he has to provide food, shelter for the mother of the child, clothing, everything. And the mother herself, she also has to breastfeed the child. But with all that, such a fundamental thing, the father has to provide for the child, the father has to provide for the mother of the child, the mother will have to breastfeed the child. But with all that, in regard to bringing the child, such a sensitive thing, generally a normal father will not falter in that. A mother also will not falter in breastfeeding a child. But see what Allah Ta'ala says, لا تكلف نفس إلا وسعها لا تضار والدة بولدها ولا مولود له بولده. That as much as it may be a responsibility of the father to provide for the child and for the child's mother, it's a responsibility of the mother to breastfeed the child, but no one should cause undue harm to each other. Neither to the father, neither to the mother. Such a basic thing, but even in that, you should not cause any takleef to each other. If a marriage takes place, and for some reason the marriage has been unsuccessful, there's a great bond between the husband and the wife. If the marriage is unsuccessful, after exhausting all possible avenues of reconciliation and addressing the issues, things are still not coming right, what's the ruling of the Shariat? If things don't come right, what's going to happen? The husband is going to cause harm to the wife. The wife is going to cause harm to the husband. Shariat doesn't tolerate that. When it comes to that point, now Shariat says, Imsak bi ma'ruf, tasrih bi ihsan. If you want, you keep our principle. You fulfill her right. And let her fulfill his right. But if that cannot happen, tasrih bi ihsan, then release with principle. Don't continue staying with each other and causing taklif and harm to each other. See, to that extent, to what great extent Shariat has gone in fulfilling the rights of human beings. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has cautioned us that stay away from zulam, stay away from oppression. إِيَّاكَ وَدَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٌ. Don't oppress the next person. You're hurting that next person's feelings. If you do that, and that hurt person turns to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and asks for refuge from Allah, then there's no barrier between the dua of an oppressed person and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The dua is immediately accepted. Try not to hurt any human being. Try to inculcate that quality within ourselves that we will never hurt any human being. Sometimes you have certain feelings coming to you. You're going to say somebody this, you're going to say somebody that. When it comes to our own self, our own nafs, you rather err on the side of caution. Rather, you be hurt than hurting the next person. Sometimes you feel you have to tell the next person something. But maybe you'll tell it, you may just trespass the limit. And then you're answerable for it in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Our akabirin were very, very sensitive to this. And just before examples, look at the Hajr al-Aswad. It's a stone that came from Jannah. We are believers, we are people of Iman. We love Allah. We love anything that comes from Allah. We love Jannat. We make a dua for Jannat. And the stone from Jannat that actually come by the Kaaba Sharif. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, they're making tawaf, go kiss the Kaaba, the Hajr Aswad. Your sins will be forgiven. The Hajr Aswad will be witness for you on the day of Qiyamah. It is because of the virtue. But with all that, our fuqaha have mentioned, when you are making tawaf, you have that zeal. You have that wish, that desire. You see everybody is queuing up to make to kiss the Hajj Aswad. But is it permissible for a person to go there by the Hajj Aswad, push and pull people, hurt people? and oppress the people is not permissible. On one side the virtue of Hajar Aswad, and on the other side, in doing so, in trying to get the virtue of kissing the Hajar Aswad, getting your sins forgiven, making the Hajar Aswad be witness for you on the day of Qiyamah, and on the other side, will be hurting and oppressing people. Does it make sense? It doesn't make sense. That oppression is, in any event, it is not permissible. Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Asghar Hussain Saab, Rahmatullah Ali, he was among the teachers of Hazrat Mufti Shafi Saab, Rahmatullah Ali. One day after Isha Salah, he left the masjid, and as he was walking, he came to a certain place, he took out his shoes. He held the shoes in his hand, and he walked tiptoed slowly across certain houses. So, somebody asked him, why did you do that? Why did you take the shoe out? You were wearing the shoe all the time, and after a certain point, you put the shoe on again. At that particular point, why did you remove the shoes? Look at the thought-provoking answer he gave, and we see the thinking, the mindset of our akabirin. How sensitive they were when it comes to the feelings of the next person. And if Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat, never to hurt anyone in our lives. Never to hurt anyone in our lives. Somebody hurt us, we forget, we overlook. But we, within ourselves, measure every act, every word, everything that we do, so that the next person doesn't get any negative feeling from our side. He's not hurt at all. We would never imagine what goes in the heart of the next person when we hurt that person. We may just say a word, we may just conduct ourselves in a particular way, and we will get away, we'll forget about it. How that person must be internally dealing with that. We don't even realize, and that is why it's very important for us to refine ourselves, our character and our conduct. Hadha Maulana Sayyid Asghar Hussain Saab mentioned, in this area, I'm aware there's an immoral woman that's living. She earns her income through that immorality. At night, she waits for people to pass by the street. And when she hears anybody walking, then probably their feeling will come into her that maybe there's somebody will then approach me. And if I have to walk with my shoes, and she would hear, and then she doesn't get that approach, she would be hurt with that. So in order to avoid hurt to her on that, I decided to carry my shoes and walk in such a way that she would not feel that anybody happened pass by. Can we think like that? What great thinking, and such so sensitive to the feelings of the next person. And sometimes when a person, a certain level of spirituality, when you cause harm to the next person, Allah withholds the rahmat, and He withholds His mercy upon you. Our pious elders, they have experienced these kind of things. I recall, once in Dabel, there was one student in the Mishkat class in the pre-final year. He was a weak student. For some reason, Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri Sahib, Madda Zilluhu, my beloved Ustad, teacher, he scolded that student. And the effect on Hazrat Mufti Saab was, for the next few days, he was unable to teach, he was unable to eat, unable to talk. When he assessed the situation, he realized that he scolded that student. He came in the class, in front of the whole class, he asked the student for forgiveness. It is only after that barrier, that obstacle that was there, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala removed it. Hazrat Maulana Shafi Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he was writing the Bayanul Quran. And most contents of the Bayanul Quran, especially for the ulama, the side notes, that is more ilhami, it was inspirational. From the side of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. What Allah put in his heart, he wrote it down there. That is why the tafsir of Bayanul Quran is ilhami, it is inspirational. For one occasion, he had fowls behind his house. So every day his wife used to take some grains and give it to the fowls. On one occasion, his wife had to go somewhere. She told to her husband, Maulana Shafi Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh, that I'm going somewhere. Don't forget, you must give the fowl food. He was so engrossed in his work, that he forgot to give the food, the grains to the fowls. Now, it was something that he had to do. It wasn't any oppression, but through you, he forgot to do it. It was through him the fowls got hungry and they were suffering. Maulana is now writing the Bayan al-Quran. And unlike before, no thought is coming in his mind. He's applying his mind, nothing is coming. He probably had thoughts before, those thoughts are also gone. And then he made tawbah, made istighfar. Allah, what wrong have I done? What wrong have I done that you have withheld your bounty from me? Then he realized that because of me, the fowls are suffering. He took the grains immediately when he gave it to the fowls. Allah opened the way for him. Respect elder friends, it is very, very important for us to be sensitive to the huquq, to the rights of human beings. One of the things that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told during Hajjatul Wada, Ala inna dima'akum wa amwalakum wa a'razakum alaykum haram ka hurmati yawmikum hadha fi shahrikum hadha fi baladikum hadha. The respect of the person is important, the wealth of the person is important, dignity and honor of a person is important. Don't ever take that away. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have mentioned, La takunu imma'a. Don't be a if person. In the sense that you say that in zalamanna zalamna, wa in ahsananna ahsanna, if people oppress us, we're going to oppress. And if people do good to us, then we will do good. But wattinu anfusakum, nurture yourself, train yourself, that if people have done good to you, you do good to them. But if people oppress you, you will forgive and you will overlook. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have mentioned, Man masha ma'a zalim liyuqawwihi ala zulam. Sometimes people oppress in various ways. One is physical oppression. So one is political oppression. One is economic oppression. One person is buying a property, or one person is doing a particular deal, and you join that person. You know that in the character and the conduct and how he's done the deal, it's not according to Shariat. Or he probably hit somebody down in order to secure that particular business. But because of being economic friends, friends in the business sector, or probably in the professional field, you could be a doctor, you could be a lawyer, there's also different levels of professional jealousy in that particular field. And if you happen to support somebody in zulm and oppression, you know for the fact, وَهُوَ يَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ ظَالِمٌ. You know for the fact that is zulm and oppression. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a stern warning, فَقَدْ خَرَجَ مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ. You came out from Islam. Yes, of course, the muhaddithin have given interpretation that, in other words, that the nur of Islam, the light of Islam has come out of you. But such hadiths, Sufyan Thawri rahmatullah mentioned that you present it as is to warn the people of the seriousness of it. And all this stems just from one thing, hasad. That's why it's very, very important for us brothers that, you know, it's a month of Ramadan, it's a month of Islam, it's a month of Reformation. We have to change our lives. We can't be stagnant. You know, we carry on life, we grow in life. Allah says in the Quran al-Kareem, Allah alladhi khalaqakum min dhaf. We are created weak. We grow up until Allah Ta'ala has given us quwwat and taqat, we come in the wayuth. And then after there's a decline, three stages in life that come into us. Like that, there's also three stages of spirituality. Allah created our nafs, nafs-e ammara. Our nafs always tells us to do things, naturally inclined us towards wrong things. But we can't stand at that, stay at that point. We need to come to a different level. When if we physically grow, we are small, and we came to our youth, and we become bigger, physically strong, our soul must also become spiritually strong. From that nafs-e ammara, we now need to come to another stage, where we come to nafs-e lawwama. You do something you know is wrong, you reproach yourself. Why did I do this? I'm not supposed to do it. And then you keep on working on yourself until you come to nafs-e mutmainna, where you feel satisfied and where you feel content. And reality, brothers, the reality of everything is, you know, that whole concept of tazkiyah, of purifying our soul, it's not for anyone else. It's not for the next person's happiness, it's for our own happiness. Nabi Kareem sir came to make our tazkiyah, remove that ills from within us. It's not for anyone else's happiness. It is for our own happiness. If we have hasad in us, we have pride in us, we have all the spiritual sicknesses in us, how can we lead a hayatan tayyibah? How can we lead a pure life? We'll never enjoy life. You may have all the means of comfort, but because you got the spiritual sickness in you, it is that own spiritual sickness is going to kill you in spite of all the happiness. You have the means of happiness, but you've got something, a poison within yourself that is going to kill you. And that is why, very important in conclusion, Nabi Karim said, taught us this one dua. From our heart, our soul, and from every fiber of our body, we should be making this dua. Allahumma ati nafsi taqwaha. Wa zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha. Oh Allah, you give my nafs is taqwa. That Allah consciousness to do the correct and the right thing. Wa zakkiha, Allah, you purify my nafs. Sometimes we have miserable feelings in life. Miserable feelings at home, miserable feelings wherever we go. It's not because of any misery outside, it's because the misery is from inside. Then let the misery from inside come out, then you see what happens. You see, we must be content with what Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given us. You drive a motor vehicle. In the gearbox there's supposed to be oil inside there. But let the water from the radiator go inside the gearbox. Immediately the engine is going to cease. In the same manner, that why must we have hasad for someone? Be content with what Allah Ta'ala has given us. Why when we must have the radiator of the next person's life coming, the water from the radiator of the next person's life coming into our lives and causing our own lives to cease. Make intelligent choices, be content with what Allah Ta'ala has given us. The dua goes on to say, فَإِنَّ خَيْرُ مَنْ زَكَّهَا. Allah, you are the best one to purify. Only you can purify us, and we make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Would that adopt all the means of our own purification? Your clothes are dirty? You're not going to say, oh Allah, get my clothes washed without sending it to a dryer. You're going to adopt means. You're going to do something to get your clothes washed. For then it's going to get washed. Otherwise, your clothes are dirty and you're going to wish and make dua, Allah, make my clothes clean. But you don't send your clothes for it to get washed. Likewise, you're going to make dua, Allah, make my soul clean. But you're doing nothing to cleanse your soul. How your soul is going to get cleansed? Allah grant us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.